Get ready to simplify your life with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. Stay connected wherever you go and transform your vehicle into a dependable Wi-Fi hotspot. Powering applications like real-time GPS and voice assistant, navigation becomes a breeze. Plus, with Wi-Fi for up to 10 devices, you can keep everyone entertained while on the road. Work, stream shows, or finish homework without missing a beat. Discover the convenience for yourself and see if you're eligible for a free trial at att.com/in-car Wi-Fi. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicles and operation compatible device and vehicle require. In a recent study by the Harris Poll on behalf of Express Employment Professionals, 71% of hiring decision makers are willing to hire contingent workers to meet their business needs. But more than half of those hiring expect to face challenges in finding qualified candidates. Express Employment Professionals is here to make hiring easier. Express is in the business of recruiting talent. Discover for yourself how working with the workforce experts can solve your hiring challenges. Visit expresspros.com for a location near you. Summer is coming and that means vacation. But if you are a parent, you know how fast your kids grow. And that means nothing from last summer will fit. And we need to get the kids new summer clothes. Well, if you're looking for summer clothes for the kids like me, you are in luck. Macy's Friends and Family Sale is coming. And trust me, you don't want to miss it. Get an extra 30% off brands that almost never go on sale, like Levi's, Calvin Klein, Tommy Hilfiger, Nike, Gap, Hotel Collection, Lego, and more. And 15% off beauty, makeup, and more. Plus free shipping when you spend $25. April 25th to May 5th, Macy's.com and in store. Discover the rich, smooth taste of matcha love made with Japanese green tea and real matcha. There are so many culinary treats to create with this precious powder that go beyond the traditional tea ceremony. Everything from lattes to baked goods to smoothies, experience the vitality of the whole tea leaf. Matcha is vibrant in taste and full of powerful health benefits. Get 25% off all matcha love products on Etoan.com using code JANA. That's code J-A-N-A. At itoen.com, available on Amazon and itoen.com.
Wind Down with Jana Kramer, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Happy Monday, guys. Oh, you know what I mean? I got nothing.
Every time I think of Monday, you know what happens? I don't know. You probably never watched SpongeBob, but when my brother was little, SpongeBob was like huge. And SpongeBob, like any day of the week, but especially Mondays, he'd wake up and say, "It's Monday. I love Mondays," and like scream it. So that's just what I think about when you say, "Happy Monday."
Well, no, I'm never going to say that because I got nothing back.
Sorry, honey.
You've had a good day. You went golfing.
Great day.
You had a great day.
No matter what happens the rest of the day, my day is great.
I'm just going to let you just take it.
Thanks.
You're welcome, babe. I'm excited for today's episode. It's going to be fun.
Is it fair to say neither of you is feeling well? Because he's coughing and you're a little raspy today.
Thanks, Dad. Yeah. You know
it's
what?
It's the endless cold.
Literally, I started with the cold and then I passed it to Jace and then Jace passed it to Jolie and Jolie passed it to Dad. And then I was good. And then all of a sudden, I woke up a couple days ago sniffling again. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. And Mike goes, this is karma because you were mean to me when I had my cold.
Because you're minimizing my cold. You're fine. You're fine. Oh, yeah.
Clearly, I'm fine. We're not over it yet.
See what happens. And I still have, like, cough.
Yeah. So sorry. Sorry.
So it's just never ending.
Sniffles out there.
This is a big day because what we're going to talk about is something pretty deep.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. So just to jump into it. So, all of you listeners who have heard Jana and I talk through our story and maybe read about our history, our story, there's been skepticism throughout things that were printed or written or talked about me during our time of separation when everything was happening almost 3 years ago that I sought treatment for sex addiction at an inpatient treatment facility.
And has it been 3 years?
It's coming on 3 years.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe 3 years this summer. Mm-hmm. So I'm at a place now, Jana and I are at a place to validate that those, I guess, rumors or skepticism around that yes, I did. Jana kind of gave me an ultimatum when everything came out and she discovered everything, and she looked at me and said, you know, you need to go somewhere. Basically, like, you need to figure out what's going on and what this is, or I'm gone, period. And so I talked to our then couples therapist and told me about a inpatient treatment facility that was not too far from Nashville, just about half a day's drive. And so I drove down there and checked myself in and was in for 60 days. And that's something ever since then, I've been in the 12-step program of sex addiction. It's weird to say right now. I will say that it's kind of been nice to hide behind that curtain of skepticism. You know, all of my closest, obviously all my family and friends knew, but yeah, so ever since then I've been a part of that program, in the 12-step program. It hasn't been perfect. Those of you who are in an addiction program themselves or are close with someone who is an addict in some way, shape, or form, I'm sure understands the pain and shame and that goes along for both parties, for all parties in a situation with addiction. And, you know, for me, I realized a lot of things throughout my life that sex and sexual acting out was my addictive behavior. And that's where I went to hide my feelings, to run away from reality. And that was my drug. So yeah, it manifests in different ways for different people. And it's something that I'm approaching a year of sobriety, next week, where I finally felt like I was at a place to discuss it and own it. Nothing's guaranteed, even though my, you know, year is next week. I live one day at a time, you know. But yeah, so my whole reason for bringing this up is just to, Jana and I have realized we've been able to help people a lot through our story, through this podcast, and we just wanted to be even more authentic, vulnerable, and open to you guys, and to offer another layer of our story to those out there who deal with addiction in some way, shape, or form. So just know that we're here to listen and to talk about it, in addition to everything else that we've been addressing on this podcast over the last year. But yeah, I think that's all I got to say about that for now.
I have questions.
Yeah.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
I first just want to say I'm proud of you for, speaking your truth. You didn't need to. And you know, you had came to me and said you think you were ready. And I was just like, you don't ever have to say anything, because you don't have to say anything to anyone or, mm-hmm. But I think it's very big of you that you want to use this and help people. You know, that's where almost like the silver lining is. You're wanting to help people, because so many people live in shame. And, you know, it's sad that part of this is, you know, it's supposed to be anonymous, but unfortunately it wasn't. Yeah. And that's where I think has been unfortunate, because so many people in the program get to live anonymously, mm-hmm. but because there's been so much speculation, you know, it's,
I mean, I can honestly say I probably wouldn't come out with it if there wasn't anything speculated out there. Cause I envy the guys I'm in program with that their parents don't even know, their siblings don't know, their closest friends don't know. It's just between them and their spouse. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I'm envious of that. I'm like, well, what does that feel like? Because everyone that knows me knows, or at least has speculated.
That's a good point. The anonymous element.
Yeah.
The way that those people are going through it is kind of how it's meant to be gone through.
Yeah. Anonymity is part of the, you know, the principles of any 12-step program.
Mm-hmm. And what had happened when I was on Dancing with the Stars is I was on the cover of Us Weekly magazine and it said married to a sex addict. And it was, you know, I don't want to take, it's hard for both sides, but at the same time, it's like, I never wanted that to come out. Yeah. At the time, did I want people to know that you cheated? Sure. Mm-hmm. You know, cause I didn't want, I was just as embarrassed, but I didn't want people to know that part because that's an addiction element, you know? So to have something plastered like that, my first reaction was I felt bad for you. Like I didn't want that to be out there for you and then for our kids and whoever else. So
were you able to, you're actually able to feel that in that moment?
Yeah, I was.
Really?
Yeah. Even though, cause I still hadn't talked to you yet.
Right.
You were still in treatment. And I wasn't answering your calls, but
I'd like just gotten out.
Oh, you just gotten out. Okay. But yeah, so I do remember that feeling, but yeah, so that's the part that I can understand that you would relate to wanting to be anonymous, but then at the same time, you can do so much with this too, especially with the platform that we're able to start with. So, Mark, do you want to ask questions?
I mean, a lot of these questions are none of my business. So just tell me if it's none of my business.
No, but I think people have people don't, you know, I didn't know what it was in the beginning either. And I've learned so much and about sex addiction through this process, but you know, and I've had to then, how do I say, educate my mom, my family, friends about what it is, because so many people ask me the same questions and I'm sure, you know, ask him the same questions. So I'm sure it'll be those same questions, but I think it's an addiction that isn't talked about and it's just kind of on the forefront of people talking about it because it's one of those addictions where you can't, I mean, you can stop having alcohol. You can't, it's
right.
You can't,
it's really the one addiction that you still use essentially in your life. So it's like an alcoholic telling an alcoholic, hey, you're an alcoholic, can't really drink alcohol, but you can still have it sometimes actually. So it's like, but you can have alcohol in a healthy way. What the hell does that look like?
Right.
If you spent your whole life drinking in an unhealthy way, what does drinking in a healthy way look like? So it's the same thing for sex. It's like, hey, this is like, for me, I never, like I've said on here before, sex and love never correlated for me and for my brain. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's, you've had sex due to unhealthy feelings your whole life. Now you hear you need to do it in a healthy way. I'm like, what does that look like? What? That doesn't make sense.
Was it the therapy that helped you put together the sex and love problem? Or did you always know that that was a disconnect for you?
No, it was therapy.
Yeah.
I made up that when I was with when I found the person I was supposed to be with, then all those issues that I would have would go away. I'll just basically excuse it and be like, oh, I cheated because I'm not meant to be with her.
Mm-hmm.
Or I don't feel like having sex with my significant other. I mean, that must mean that I'm not supposed to be with her. I don't really like her. Well, it's not necessarily the case.
Mm-hmm. So sex addiction is an interesting thing because I think it also can be used as an excuse.
Yep.
And I feel like that's what people are going to ask us about.
And so
when you hear about, I don't know, Harvey Weinstein, Kevin Spacey, these guys who are accused of these things, oh, they're going away for a sex addiction treatment and then everything's going to be fine. And you think, really? Is that really the issue? Or are they just kind of assholes?
Right.
So I feel like it's an excuse by some people. It's a legitimate thing for some people. And is that an issue with you? Because I got to believe there's a lot of people that just think he's just a jerk and using this as an excuse.
Or he's just a football player, which is what a lot of people say.
Right.
You know, he's just an athlete.
Right. That's actually probably the best question you can lead off with, because that is where a big portion of the initial shame comes from. Because like for me, I believe I'm a good person. In so many other aspects of my life, I've been a good person, except for, in relationships. And so trying to come to terms with admitting you're powerless over addictive behavior. Admitting that is like the hardest part because you're torn. You're like, well, I don't think I'm a sex addict. Like what? But if I'm not an addict, then does that mean I'm just a piece of shit? So it's like, it's this shame game of just like, what am I? It's like either direction you go, there's shame. I'm either a sex addict or I'm a piece of crap and I'm an a-hole. Like you said, I'm just a jerk. I treat women bad. I do bad things. So that is a big issue where people just say, I even watched a stand-up, a comedian that I like, and he had a bit where he talked about sex addiction quick, and he talked about, you know, that's just a man's excuse for what he did or for cheating or whatever. For some people, maybe. Mm-hmm. Sure. But, you know, and people still have that speculation. Even when I talk to some of Jana's family, they're like, you know, we'll support Jana, whatever she decides, but I don't believe that this is a real thing. I was like, that's fine. You don't have to.
And that's also the older generation too, you know?
Yeah, oh, for sure. For sure. It's definitely because that, especially when it comes to sex addiction, I feel like alcohol or drugs.
Well, that's people, like, oh, they're, you know.
Well, that's a whole nother ball game where, yeah, people that are in AA or NA say they're going to meetings or the sober people are like, they get empathy, they get sympathy. Like, oh, good job. Good for you. You say you're in sex addiction, people are like, oh, shame. Mm-hmm. Whoa, what's that?
But that's also part of the evolution, right? Because I feel like 30, 40 years ago, if you said you're an alcoholic, people are like, what? You
can't, oh, you no question. It, that's how know? It started.
It's all, we're learning empathy as a
we're 15, society. 20, the SAA program is, we're about 15 years behind in society. Mm-hmm. So it's going to take another 10 to 15 years for people to understand it and respect it as an addiction. But again, to get back to your point, you know, the whole thing of an excuse versus an actual chemical issue in your brain. You know, if anyone on the outside would go to a, could go to an open meeting and see the people in there, it's not just a bunch of people that are married. Mm. There's people in there from age ranges from 18 to 80.
Female and male.
Female and male that are married, that have never been married, that have been married and are divorced, or whatever.
And gay, straight.
Gay, straight, like you name it. So it's not just for people that have spouses and it's a way to keep their marriage together. That's not it at all. So, you know,
it's basically identifying the bad habits of what you've done and then realizing that's
right. And there's people that were able to see these behaviors in themselves and get into the 12-step program or have a therapist, you know, pursue them in that direction. I mean, for me, I honestly can say that I probably never would have acknowledged a problem and I would have kept the same pattern of behaviors if it wasn't for Jana.
Because I'm just curious, like when you say that, because you justify, like you were able to justify in your brain during that sick cycle, I guess.
Oh, I was just in addictive behavior where I was just everything I just justified or validated or rationalized every decision I made.
Right.
I'm sure that's the other thing people throw at you is if you wouldn't have gotten caught, you never would have stopped doing this. No. You never would have sought treatment. But it's similar to other addictions. If you wouldn't have driven into that tree, you mm-hmm. wouldn't have gone into AA. You know, mm-hmm. like it seems like rock bottom has to be achieved.
For sure. And, you know, even when you think you're at bottom, you hit another bottom. Mm. You know, and that's, you know, where Jana and I had to go through kind of throughout our journey over the last few years.
Well, I think one of the questions that might come up is they'll say, okay, well, you got out of the program 3 years ago, but why are you only 1 year sober?
Because of that, the point I just made, it's just because I got out, you're still trying to figure out. I spent, what was I when I went in, 30?
Yeah.
Or, no, it was 29.
Oh, 29, yeah.
So I spent, you know, obviously not 29 whole years, but essentially 29 years thinking or living a different way. And then all of a sudden you shock your system and you say, no, you're actually supposed to think of things this way. And so for people just to not cold turkey, but flip the switch, immediately, that's few and far between. So, and there's some people that do, but it's progress, not perfection, which anyone in an addictive mm-hmm. program knows that's a big mantra. So it's, you know, I had my stumbles along the way.
So just to get the timeline down, mm-hmm. the, when you went away, mm-hmm. that was
That was...
Jolie was 6 months old.
That was June of 16.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's where we're coming up on 3 years.
Well, no, that was July 2016. Sorry. End of July.
Yeah. But yes, and 3 years of him being in treatment, but...
In the SAA program.
But he's now 1 year sober.
Got it. So there have been relapses along the way.
Yes.
And you've had to...
No relapses, yes, but no sex outside the marriage. Like... No, I'm not minimizing cheating because we have other things in our Jana and I's discussion, our boundaries, that's cheating, but no sex outside of the marriage. Just so people, I just want people to be clear that there wasn't any other affair since that moment. I just want people to
know what a relapse is in this scenario.
Right. And it's different for different people.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, some people have,
it's a circle plan.
So in something he should not have done that was in a circle that was very red, like bad, and could have been awful. Got and it. That was a, you know, massive relapse. Yes, it wasn't physical out of the marriage, but it was something where
the action was basically.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So that was something.
It was classic addictive behavior, not being able to articulate my feelings and just internally blowing the F up and just basically hit the F it button.
Mm. And yeah, we're just basically happy that someone didn't show up.
Yeah, basically. So, yeah.
I showed up at the hotel instead.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
If we really want to know.
Yeah, we've been through some shit. So that's why, even though I've been in the program coming on 3 years, I'm a year sober.
So if I, here, let me see if I can put it this way. So basically, if you put it in a different addiction, he went to the bar and there was a glass in front of him. Mm-hmm. And luckily, you showed up to stop him from drinking from the glass.
Yes.
Okay. I think I understand.
Pretty much, yeah. So, yeah. I mean, again, we just want to be able to help people with this. And I'm finally to a place where I don't have an overwhelming amount of shame, where I'm able to acknowledge mm-hmm. who I am. This is part of me, and I'm comfortable with owning the fact that I'm a sex addict. And it's still hard to say that out loud, but knowing that I can possibly help other people, you know, maybe we can save some more relationships.
Speaking generally, mm-hmm. what are some signs of sex addiction? It doesn't have to be yours.
Right. So a big part of the addiction in general is, you know, ritualization. You plan something you're used to. When you get home, you watch porn, or you act out, or you sleep with somebody, or you start basing your whole day around acting out.
Mm-hmm.
Getting the drink per se. If you don't get it, you get frustrated. It just ruins your day if you can't have it.
Mm-hmm. Or if maybe like your wife comes home and you couldn't masturbate or something, or you couldn't look at your wife, like, and you get upset about that.
Right.
That something breaks that action for you.
Yeah. So those are a few things just kind of surface level that if you schedule your day around whatever the behavior is, something gets in the way of it and just ruins your day, and, you know, you ritualize it. So you plan your day and it's like, that's just part of your day. Like, you can't get through the day unless you do mm-hmm. this, mm-hmm. whatever the act is. So yeah, there's a lot more that we can go into detail about, which we'll get a CSAT on here, certified sex addiction therapist on here to talk more about some of that. But those are there's kind of surface level things for people to think about. It's like, man, maybe I am basing my day around this. And mm-hmm. maybe when I leave work, the first thing I think about is watching porn, or the first thing I think about is getting on Tinder and texting somebody, or whatever it is. You know, if that's like the first thing you think about, you know, but that's where it's hard too, is for a long time in my life, I just rationalized it. And I'm like, I'm a single guy and I'm in the NFL and I'm just young and done, like that whole thing, right? That I said in college, and then I said it when I was in my 20s, and then, you know, it's just, you just keep rationalizing it somehow in your brain.
Does the athletic lifestyle, because some people would say, like we said before, athletes are like this. Athletes are players. Athletes just have no respect for women. But would you also say that, you wouldn't say that, of course, mm-hmm. but you might say that the athletic lifestyle breeds?
It's glorified.
Glorifies this behavior.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. It's definitely, I mean, the thing is there's plenty of guys that are outside the realm of the stereotype. Plenty of guys that are unbelievable family men, unbelievable husbands, unbelievable fathers, no issues or anything. But that lifestyle is definitely glorified.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my rookie year in Jacksonville, I was the only rookie in the tight end room, and all the other guys were like married too, like I had families and stuff. And they wanted me like to tell jokes in the meeting room. I was like, I'm not a joke teller. But then they're like, all right, well, tell us like a story. Like, what'd you do this weekend? Because I was on practice squad. So like when they had away games, I'll just go out and like party and stuff. So instead, like I'll come in. They're like, all right, tell us a story from this weekend. Like, what'd you do? And that's what they wanted to hear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's like, it's glorified. It just feeds it. You know, so it definitely doesn't help when that stuff is all around you. You know, not blaming it, but my addiction, looking back and thinking back on my timeline and my life actions, it accelerated and flourished when I was in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
100%.
Probably too, because like you had money and you had, you know.
Notoriety. I had money, notoriety, you know, I was single and I feel like you're on top of the world. Everyone knows you.
And a lot of those guys, if they heard you talking on this podcast today, they'd be like, what a wuss. What happened to this guy? Cuckolded, whatever you want to say, right? Yeah. They'd be like, what happened to him?
Yeah, maybe some, but I think guys are maybe realizing there's more to life than football.
Right, guys do grow up at some point.
They do. They do. And I really feel like with all like the negative publicity like football is getting in the last few years with the health and everything, I think guys are starting to realize that more. Which is good for young men. But yeah, I'm sure there's some guys that if they heard me say this, they're like, come on, dude. No, like you're just having a good time.
Well, right.
You know, I look back and I was a full blown addict. There's no question about it.
I think people sometimes, I have that hard time differentiating a cheater versus an addict. So mm-hmm. I think that's where it's like, you know, people said like, well, my husband's cheated on me twice. Does that make them a sex addict? And so I think that's like one of the hardest lines to cross because, how do you really differentiate the two when, you know, a husband has cheated twice once?
That's going to be another great question for people to ask. And that's a great one to ask, honey. You know, that's the thing too, where you don't want people to, someone makes a mistake and all of a sudden they're like, you're an addict or are you this, you need to do. But if it's happened a couple of times, go talk to a therapist.
Find out
what, like, where this stuff comes from. Why did you decide to cheat? Is it just because, and sometimes it is. Sometimes you're just an a-hole.
there are
those people. But
it usually stems from something in the childhood.
It could very well be just you're an a-hole, but...
Because there's also narcissistic personality disorder, which we have an email about too, but like those people tend to only think of themselves, no empathy for the other people in their lives, and so that wouldn't necessarily be sex addiction, but it is a disorder of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
I hope, anyway.
Yeah.
Is it true that people are just a-holes, or is it all some sort of disorder?
I think so. I think some people are just... I feel like it has to come from somewhere. Everything has to come from somewhere, right? But some people just are. Some people just don't care about other people. As we see in the world in the news every day.
Yeah.
I mean,
There's one thing too I want to debunk. Is that the right? Debunk? Debunk?
Debunk or debunk. Rebuke?
Oh, it's rebuke, not debunk. Okay, thanks. One of the things that I want to debunk is, or rebuke, whatever, is people will say, because I'm working on something right now around sex addiction with a girlfriend of mine, and the guy in the meeting said, wait, so does that mean that your husband just wants to have sex with you all the time? Like that's something that also comes up too when you say sex addiction, because again, people don't really understand. And I'm like, no, it's...
Could that be a type of sex addiction?
I'll let Mike answer that since he knows more. I know there's sexual intimacy, which, or sexual anorexia, which is,
which,
you know,
is like what I have,
which is, yeah, where you don't want to sleep with your wife. And so it's not that you don't want to sleep with your wife, but it's
just, there's something that goes on. Like for me, it was just a level of intimacy, and again, intimacy and love and sex, not mm-hmm. correlating. So for me, it was like when I felt love and intimacy, I was avoidant. I was like sexually anorexic. Like I didn't want it. Because it just...
With me.
With her, yeah. Because I was intimate and I loved her.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, why would I... I've never had sex with somebody that I love and I'm intimate with. Mm. Why would I do that now?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
So is there some that just like have a lot or no?
Yeah. Yeah, sure. I mean, there's plenty of guys that are in program that they aren't avoidance or anorexic when it comes to sexually and having sex with their partners.
I'm aware of a married couple. I don't want to say how. But he needs it every day, single day. And so she just is like, okay, that's just how he is. And that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But that seems like a form of addiction, some sort of an interesting disorder where it has to happen every day or he gets really upset.
Yeah. I mean, that would be interesting because it's like, well, he's not stepping out on his wife.
Right.
You know, and he's not doing other behaviors that, you know, may be outside the boundaries of their relationship. So, I mean, I can't really say that's an addiction. Maybe it's just something that he just, you know, there is a reason behind it, something mentally that he makes up in his head that he needs it.
Right.
He doesn't really.
He's actually right.
He's not going to die if he doesn't have
mm-hmm.
it. And that's a whole, that is like an addictive mindset. Like, if I don't have this, I'm going to die. Like, mm-hmm. you're exaggerating. You're like, no, I can't. My day is ruined. Everything sucks. Like, no, you just blow up. So... You know, maybe it's some addictive pattern in his brain, but I mean, he's not breaking any boundaries. It's not really necessarily a bad thing.
Right. And if she's okay with it, then it's just them.
Do you guys have any questions around any of this, though? Email us at janakramer@iheartmedia.com, and hopefully we'll be able to get someone on here that can help answer questions if you or your spouse or anyone you know needs any advice or tips from a specialized CSAT. And if you have just any questions or anything around it.
One more question.
Mm-hmm. Mark.
Please.
The people you're in group with.
Yeah.
Would you say that all or most are victims of abuse?
Interesting question.
A lot.
Yeah.
And so I went to like when I was in treatment with all the, there's a bunch of guys I was in treatment with, and like my individual therapist per se, you're like broken off into groups. And I, after being there a couple of weeks, I went and met with my therapist there, and I asked her, I was like, I feel a lot of guilt and shame because like, I feel like my story is not as bad as others that I hear. Like it makes sense when somebody's sexually abused and you hear some of these stories and I'm just like, holy crap, like, oh my God. And I'm like, I would feel bad. I'm like, it took me a long time to get through because I'm like, I would even say, I was like, what's my excuse?
Mm-hmm.
Am I just a piece of shit?
Mm-hmm.
Dang, like, am I really just a bad person? I wasn't abused. And that's the thing, like, I had a great childhood. But it's, you know, for still reasons that happened, this is just where my brain took me. This is how it manifested. And so a lot of people are victims of abuse. Definitely. But you don't have to be mm-hmm. to have this. And that's taken me, that's been one of the biggest things that's taken me a long time to accept that, okay, I'm not just a bad person, you know, but it's hard when you hear these stories. I'm like, do I belong here?
Right.
You know? So it's, yeah, it's, you know, it's hard. And, but then all it takes is, it takes one person that speaks or shares, and you're like, you feel like you're speaking or sharing. You're like, that's my story. And that's how you start to get close with certain guys in program. And again, anyone in a 12-step program will understand that. Like, you just start hearing people share because you go to the same meetings at the same time of the same day each week, and you learn these people, and you start to get closer because you're like, man, we have the same story. Let's go grab breakfast. Let's talk about this. You know?
I have a question. In any 12-step program, wouldn't it be that no one's pain is more important, and I'm using quotes, than mm-hmm. someone else's pain? that I hate hearing you say, like, am I just a piece of beep? Because it's like, your pain is real. Whatever you were trying to fill is just as real. It may be slightly less tragic.
Yeah, I always say you can never measure someone's pain.
No, you can't. But it's, and it's, that's the thing. No one measures each other's pain. You just measure your own. That's what it is. You're like, because you put yourself in their shoes, because people share so vulnerably in these meetings that you're like, oh my gosh, if I went through that, and then you start to minimize your story, and you're like, why am I so effed up if this is all I went through? But again, you don't measure each other's pain, but you do it to yourself.
Do they help you not do that?
Yeah. And that's where, you know, I'm amazed. I am honestly amazed by people that have gotten sober just by going to meetings, because I can't imagine not getting sober, not having gone to an inpatient treatment facility, only because you dig deep into your, you know, your skeletons deep.
The one thing though that they got to work on those inpatient treatments is the reality of when you get out.
Oh my. Yeah.
Because got out of how many days was 70 days?
No, it was 60 days. I was in 70 that I didn't see Jolie.
Yeah. And I was here in LA doing Dancing with Stars. Because I needed an escape.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, she was young, but I remember, you know, I didn't answer. I think I only answered one of his calls in treatment because I just didn't want to talk to him. But I read every single letter that he wrote me. He'd write a letter and I would wait at 3:00 for the mailman to come. I didn't want to talk to him, but I wanted to read his letters.
I wrote her a letter every day.
But I think they didn't properly prepare him for when he got out, because I was still reeling.
Sure.
I was still upset, because he comes out and he's like, I'm basically healed. And I'm like, well, I'm a single mom right now. Mm-hmm. I'm like, this isn't, you know, so I think that was
that was
the one knock that I have on that.
No, I do too. And me and guys that there's only one guy really that I'm still staying in touch with from treatment. But that was mine and his big only knock too, was like, we get out and it's like, they build you up when you're in there, because there's just so much shame around all this. There's so much. I mean, it's crazy. And so they build you up. So like when you get into the world, you feel like you belong and that you're a person, you can do this. But then you come to an angry spouse who just want to beat you down, understandably so, rightfully so. And then we come out like, you can't talk to me like that. I have boundaries. And they're like, F your boundaries, you mother. You know, so it's like that whole thing is an adjustment.
Oh, God.
So there are some things. Oh, man, that was. We can laugh now,
what
honey.
I was now. Like, excuse me, you have boundaries. Oh, and I was like, I have not mother
effed you
yet.
I'm a human being, Jana. Yeah. You cannot talk to me this way.
Well, I'm really proud of you for sharing, Mark.
How did your parents find out? Was it on Us Weekly, or did you tell them before you went?
No, I called them and told them. My mom.
I called your parents.
Or no, yeah, you called.
When I found out, I called his parents.
Oh,
yeah, and my,
because I was really close with your dad at the time, and I was just like shell shocked.
Yeah,
and I didn't know who else to. I didn't want to call my parents. I didn't know who to call, and I was like, I want to talk to your dad. So I called, and then his mom, I got home the next day. I said, I don't want him in the house. And I threw all of his clothes out on the front porch, like a good old movie scene. And his mom came and got him. And then, 2 days later, you were in treatment?
Yeah, it was, yeah. Yeah, my mom flew down to be around. And then, yeah, a few days later, I drove myself to treatment. So that was... That's hard too, because like my parents didn't really understand, and like you said, you asked about the abuse. That's people's first reaction. So my parents are like, "Did you get abused by somebody?" And we don't know. Like, tell us. Like, who was it? You know, they start like rattling off names. Like,
was it Uncle Joe? Was it Uncle?
Yeah. Like, was it this? Was it that? Like, tell us right now. Like, we're ready to go off because they seem a little weird. So I was like, no.
Mm.
You know, so yeah, it's, and you know, I, even now I'll like talk to like my buddies back east or something and say I'm talking to them on the phone, and they'll be like, oh, you know, I'll call them. They're on their ride in from work. I go to a meeting that's like first thing in the morning out here in LA. And they're like, dude, it's like 6:30 your time. What are you doing up? I was like, I'm going to a meeting. Oh, like what meeting? And I still like have hesitation.
Sure.
I'm about like 50-50 when I say I'm going to a 12-step meeting or I'm not. And they all know, but it's like, I don't know.
Well, even like your one friend was like, you're going to your men's, or what did he say? Like you're a sex addict?
No, he was like,
the way he said it, it's very like a little shameful way of saying
it. He's like, oh, you're going to your sex addict meeting? He's like, what do you guys, did you talk about like sex addiction stuff? I was like, it's more than that, but sure.
But it's a way of diminishing it.
Right. So, yeah. So, yeah, exactly. So, I want to get to a place where I think I'm at that place where I'm talking about it. So, I better be at that place to own it more.
There's very little shame on an AA meeting now.
Yeah.
It's taken, I think, a long time for that to exist. So, I think you speaking out could help lessen the shame.
That's the goal.
Yeah. And, you know, I think where you want to go with this too, and to be able to go out and speak on it and be, you know, to not make it be such a
stigma and an excuse.
A shameful place.
And an excuse. Yeah. And unfortunately, it's still going to be a curtain that people use that are, you know, have high notoriety and get themselves into situations and, oh, I'm a sex addict and now I'm okay and I understand and.
Right. I cheated. How about I go to sex addiction therapy and then we'll be okay?
Right. Right. Like, you want to kick me out of the company, but wait, let me just go get treatment. No, this is a disorder. Like, you can't fire me because I, right. You know, yeah. So there's going to be those people that exploit it. But, you know, there's stuff everywhere that people exploit. So I'm just here to.
Well, I'm really proud of you and I'm proud of where this can go for you and for the people that you're going to help along the way.
Well, I appreciate that, honey. And I want to say that I'm proud of you for your end and being willing to be an advocate as a spouse who is with somebody in this program, and think about the women or men that you can help, you know, as the spouse to this too, and help them understand things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know you're still understanding things, but you've come a long way.
But so many wouldn't even bother to make the effort to understand it. They would just say bye.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure. For sure.
Which is why I'm like, guys, why can't I just be sarcastic sometimes? But then they just get on me. You know?
I like it. I think you can.
Feisty. No, but I'm really proud of you, babe. If any of you guys have questions, though, we'd love to bring, you know, someone on to help you if you have any questions of your marriage or your spouse.
So that was what I was going to ask you. And I'm sorry to spring this on you guys live.
No, it's okay.
You're about to announce what we're doing.
Oh, yeah.
And I would like to have an expert at that.
Oh, wow.
In addition to the expert, we're going to... So I'm getting ahead of myself because I should let you explain what we're doing.
Well, because we were thinking about maybe having a CSAT therapist maybe come on the show, but you're saying live?
Look, let's dive in head first. We're doing this event. You explain what we're doing.
And okay. I'll explain what I'm thinking. We are doing a live Thrive Market podcast. So and I are cordially inviting you to wind down with us on April 2nd. So thanks to Thrive Market. It's from 6 to 8 p.m. at the iHeartRadio Performance Studio in Burbank. Experience the Wind Down podcast live in an exclusive acoustic performance by Mike. No, just kidding.
Yeah, that's right.
We'll have snacks.
My debut.
I'm like, I don't say wine. We'll have snacks, and we would love to meet as many of you as possible. And by the way,
admit we're having wine.
Okay, that's right. Sorry. Okay. And by the way, if you aren't in LA, we have an information later in the show about how you can see us closer to where you are. So you guys, again, April 2nd from 6 to 8, iHeart Radio Performance Studio in Burbank. We're so excited. How do they get
to come
in? So
you'll go to thrivemarket.com/Jana.
Okay.
And what's really cool is like when you go there, it's very easy to navigate and sign up to enter to get to come.
Amazing.
And so what I'm thinking is Dr. Jen Mann's going to come, which I think she'll have some really good input.
Yes.
And Christy Morell, who was on last week or the week before to talk about nutrition and health and eating issues, which, look, it's all sort of in the same pile. And then what I want to do is have sort of an intimacy expert so it can touch on this, but also people's, any questions they have about their relationships and the importance of intimacy and intimacy being handled correctly.
Yes.
And then we'll have like a celebrity guest for fun. It's not all going to be just.
Oh, I'm so pumped. It's going to be so much fun. April 2nd. Right, it's thrivemarket.com/Jana. April 2nd, 6 to 8 here in Burbank, California. Oh, it's going to be fun. I'm excited. So we are going to have Joe Piazza on. Her podcast is called Committed. It's available wherever you listen to podcasts. And she's awesome. Again, talks about relationships. So I'm super excited to talk to her. But before we talk to Joe, I want to tell you about Brooke Lennon. So Michael and I, obviously, like as you guys know, we're moving to Nashville. We're super excited. We're setting up the guest rooms right now in our master bedroom. And we're just like loving Brooke Lennon in our master right now. So that's why every single room in our house is going to have Brooke Lennon sheets. So they make 5-star hotel quality sheets, more affordable and easy to order. They're luxury sheets without the luxury markup, which is amazing because if you didn't know, most bedding is marked up as much as 300%. Insane. They have amazing colors. You can mix and match over 25 colors and patterns to make your bedroom just right. My Brooke Lennon sheets are the best and so comfortable. And again, like I say, you spend so much of your life in bed, so you might as well sleep good with comfy sheets. Brooklinen.com has an exclusive offer just for you. Get 10% off your first order and free shipping when you use promo code Jana at brooklinen.com. They're also so confident in their product that all their sheets, comforters, and towels come with a lifetime warranty. The only way to get 10% off your first order and free shipping is to use promo code Jana at brooklinen.com. That's Brooklinen, BROOKLINEN.com. Promo code Jana. Brooklinen, these are really the best sheets ever.
We have one set of Brooklinen sheets, and I can always tell the second I get into them that, oh, we got around to Brooklinen again.
Oh, yeah.
Because the other ones just don't measure up.
Not at all. Real fast, before we talk to Joe, I want to tell you guys about Scentbird. So I have a really hard time shopping for perfumes. I feel like it's frustrating to have to commit to the big, you know, Chanel bottle that's like $75, $100. It's frustrating. And what if I don't really like it or I really want to commit to it? But this is what I love about Scentbird. So basically, they send you a sample size of whatever scent you like. So after you take a quiz online, they'll send you something that is like that. You can get anything from Tom Ford, Gucci, Versace. They basically just keep you smelling good month after month. The bottle lasts, for me, it lasts an entire month, which is really, really, really great. And then there's more than 450 designer brands you can choose from. Like I said, Prada, Tom Ford, Versace, Dolce & Gabbana, Gucci, 120 sprays in each bottle. Again, that's a 30-day supply. So I kind of love it. And it's great because then you don't have to commit to the entire bottle and it's a lot cheaper. So with this, an exclusive offer just for our listeners, you can get 50% off your first month today. That's only $7.50 for your first fragrance. So you go to scentbird.com/Jana and use my promo code Jana for 50% off your first month. Again, that's scentbird, scentbird.com/Jana for you to try your first perfume or cologne for just $7.50. Sign on and smell amazing. And also what I love about it too is when I travel, I don't like to carry my big perfume bottle because it gets taken away and I get really angry. So I'm like, do you know how much I spent on that perfume? So honestly, now I just use Scentbird and it's really easy. And it's just, you put it in your gym bag, in your purse, or whatever, and you just pop it out of the thing and then put the new one in after the month. And you twist it, spray, super easy. Okay, so we have Joe Piazza on the phone. Joe?
I'm here.
Hey, girl, it's Jana and Mike.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm so glad we can make this work.
I know. Us too. We're super pumped. And we'd love to just get right on in it.
Do it. Let's just do it.
Just do it. Let's just be committed to this.
We are committed.
Did you like that little plug?
We're real committed.
So you have, obviously you have your podcast called Committed. And then you also, you have a book out called How to Be Married.
I do. Yeah. And Committed kind of came out of How to Be Married.
So how long have you been married for?
Oh, I've hardly been married at all. It's funny because when you write a book like that, people are like, oh, you must be a marriage expert. And I'm like, no, I wrote the book because I have no idea what the hell I'm doing. That's why I wrote it.
That's amazing.
Amazing. So what did you learn then?
Well, so I got married on the later side, right? Like I was 35 when I got married. My husband was 41 and I had no idea how the hell to be a wife. I had no idea how to do this. So I was a travel editor at the time. And traveled around the world asking different men and women advice, and I'm like, how do you do this? How are you actually someone's wife? How do you actually live in the same house and make a marriage work? And it was awesome. I visited 13 countries on 6 continents in the course of a year, in my first year of marriage. And what we realized was it was the stories from people that teach you how to be married. And, you know, as long as humans have been humans and have been getting married, we've learned how to do this because people pass down these kind of oral histories and these stories, right? But we don't do that anymore. We don't talk about marriage except to brag. Like, we have brags on Instagram, but we don't talk about the nitty gritty bullshit hard parts of a marriage that are actual real things that can help us get through it.
Well, we do.
It's either, it's like, I feel like it's either, you're right yeah. though, Joe. It's either like the glorified aspect on Instagram, or it's when you're with your friends, it's like more people are just bitching about their spouse than talking highly. So it's like one extreme or the other, like no in between.
There's no in between. It's, I mean, you're right. It's like Instagram, like hashtag date night, or you're just like bitching and moaning. You don't actually have real conversations about what a marriage is like. And so, you know, I travel around the world. I interview women, from really fancy women in Paris who tell me to buy all of this expensive lingerie. And I'm like, sure, I'll totally do it. And then I totally didn't do it. And Orthodox Jewish women in Jerusalem.
Wow.
Polygamous tribes in Tanzania and Kenya, which were the most fascinating, which made me believe that I would totally be cool with Nick bringing a second wife on board if she wants to help me with the childcare.
Heck yeah.
Not to jump in, but one of our most listened to episodes ever was with the sister wives.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm.
It was so fascinating.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, what we learned is that it was all about economies of scale, right? And it was women kind of taking over control in these relationships. The men were secondary, and the women are like, all right, this is how we're dividing up all of the crazy amount of labor we have to do. If we can't get it all done, we're going to bring another wife into this situation. And the guy is just over there sitting under a palm tree.
It's crazy.
What was the streamline between both the men and women that you saw that was common when you got the stories? Was it communication? You know, was it being a friend?
Yeah, like, was there any constant through all of this?
It's one of the things that I learned was, I mean, it is communication, right? Everyone's like, have better communication. And then on the flip side of that, no one knows how to communicate.
Right.
So it's all starting out by having better communication about communication. But the streamline, since we were in so many different countries, was where Americans really mess it all up and where it all goes to hell for us, is that we have these expectations going into a marriage that people in other countries don't tend to have. And we put so much weight on a marriage. So we're like, all right, we're getting married. That person's going to be my soulmate. They're going to be my best friend. They're going to be the person I work out with, I cook with, I have the best sex of my life with. They're going to be my shrink. And in other countries, they're like, you marry your husband or your wife, and they're your husband or your wife, and that's their role. And you don't expect them to solve all of your problems. But in the States, we do. We have this soulmate problem, and I think it's a romantic comedy problem,
right,
is what it is. And then you get married, you realize that person isn't all of those things, and your expectations are just crushed, and you're miserable.
Is there a country that you witness that's doing it right, or at least has it close to, you know, not perfection, but just more consistent than America?
Well, it's just all of Northern Europe gets more things right than we do. So we're talking Sweden, Denmark. One, because they just have equality between the sexes a lot more than we do. And two, they have a lot more of a laissez-faire attitude towards marriage. They get divorced at probably about the same rate that we do, but they don't put all of this pressure on it. Divorce doesn't make or break you. There's not a big stigma. Mm-hmm. You can get divorced online for about $39.
Jeez,
people celebrate their divorce anniversary. It's just, they don't put all of this weight on a marriage and all of this societal pressure. And because they have a social safety net, a marriage is also not going to make or break them financially.
Do other cultures or other countries believe in therapy? Like, is it just America that everyone goes to therapists?
No. I mean, I thought so many other cultures depend on therapy.
Really?
In all different kinds of forms too, right?
Oh, yeah.
So therapy could mean talking to one, your sister wife, or talking to your mother-in-law, or having actual, real, meaningful conversations with your friends. Or you guys can probably hear my baby right now. He's going to calm down.
It's okay.
My mom is grabbing him right now. But yeah, I mean, I think other countries actually have less, and particularly other European countries, which are a lot more civilized than we are, tend to have less of a stigma on therapy. And it was great. My husband and I started going to therapy before we got married. We still go to therapy once every 6 months, and I think it's the one good thing we've done for our marriage.
Getting
a lot of childcare.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So your husband, Nick, obviously is, you know, is a huge part of this. So what's one thing that you guys both think that you guys are doing right? And what's one thing that you guys both feel like you have to work on?
Oh, we have a thousand things to work on. So I'll start with what we're doing right. We travel apart. And I got this advice from a lot of women in different countries. We have completely separate vacations where he'll go off with his buddies for a week and go camping, and I'll go with my girlfriends and go to a spa. Or I did a road trip across the country with one of my friends. And it allows us to be apart so we can come back and like each other again. And I think that's huge. And I got a lot of criticism from it, from a lot of my American friends. They're like, why would you go on separate vacations? Is something wrong? And I'm like, no, we shouldn't be together all the time. It's exhausting, and we're not interesting to each other if we're together all the time. The French women really stress that. In addition to the fancy lingerie, again, which is just way too expensive, you can get a really cute bra at Target. You don't need to spend $400 on a bra. But they're like, make sure you have some mystery in your marriage. And that means spending time apart. You don't need to be together all the time. There's so many things we're still trying to work on. I really think that having a kid blew up our marriage. We were married for a year, and then I got pregnant. And we're still trying to figure out, and I'm pregnant again.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And we're still trying to figure out how to navigate the world as husband and wife and parents. And
but I think that's exciting, though, that you're wanting to, you know, it's like you're living life, and that's the together and with the craziness. And sometimes, you know, Mike and I have, obviously we have our 4-month-old and then our 3-year-old, but you know, it's crazy. And it's like Jolie's screaming, the baby's crying, and you know, we're trying to figure out something. It's just, you kind of look in those moments. I'm like, I almost love those moments because that's, you're just like, you're living, you know, you're living it.
Exactly. I mean, it's like, it's real life and trying to figure out how the hell this marriage thing works within the chaos. Right. And so I think we're trying to figure that out, and also to figure out who the hell we want to be when we grow up. Like, now I'm closer to 40, Nick's in his mid-40s, and we're like, what are we doing? What do we want to do with the rest of our lives? And that takes a lot of communication. So I actually think we need to double down on our therapy.
I love that. Where can our listeners find you, babe?
So the Committed Podcast is on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. And I'm on Instagram at Joe Piazza Author. And JoePiazza.com.
Awesome. Well, you're the best, and we're looking forward to being on your podcast too.
Yay, I can't wait.
Okay. Awesome. Thanks, Joe.
Bye, Joe.
Bye, guys.
One of my goals for 2024 is to shop sustainably. So it's so important, obviously, for just the overall world, but just, you know, you feel better about sustainability. Well, I love being able to shop sustainably at Macy's. I really appreciate that a big brand like Macy's is supporting small changes to make a big difference. Join Macy's in an effort to shop more sustainably with brands like Carter's, Little Planet, Oak on 34th, Elemis, and more. Plus, to help bring more parks to more people, Macy's is supporting Trust for Public Lands Community Schoolyards Project, transforming vacant schoolyards into green spaces to help ensure healthy, livable communities for generations to come. Donate online or in-store and learn more at Macy's.com/purpose. Did you know that 95% of pregnant women are not getting their recommended daily intake of key omega-3s? That's where Ritual comes in. Their prenatal contains 350 milligrams of eco-friendly vegan omega-3 DHA in every serving, sourced from algal oil instead of fish. I loved Ritual. I took it when I was pregnant with Roman. I also now take their multivitamin. It's just an amazing everyday thing that I know is good for the body. A prenatal multivitamin made traceable with vegan, bioavailable, and clinically studied key nutrients for before and during pregnancy, like omega-3 DHA to support baby's brain development and choline and methylated folate to support baby's neural tube development. Their vitamins are rigorously tested and validated by a third party for allergens, microbes, and heavy metals. Ritual works with world-class certification bodies to validate their products. Why settle for a multivitamin you're not 100% sure about? Ritual was literally built on trust, so you know it's the real deal. Get 25% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/wine. Start Ritual or add Essential for Women prenatal to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/wine for 25% off. Get ready to simplify your life with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. Stay connected wherever you go and transform your vehicle into a dependable Wi-Fi hotspot. Powering applications like real-time GPS and voice assistant, navigation becomes a breeze. Plus, with Wi-Fi for up to 10 devices, you can keep everyone entertained while on the road. Work, stream shows, or finish homework without missing a beat. Discover the convenience for yourself and see if you're eligible for a free trial at att.com/in-car Wi-Fi. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicles and operation compatible device and vehicle require. So I've recently got some boots in the mail that I had to try because I'm a boot girl. I love boots, but wow, I'm never going back to Tecovas, you guys. This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, their direct-to-consumer pricing keeps value on your feet and money in your pocket. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores have leather and custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's Tecovas, T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com, and find your new favorite pair of boots.
Okay, so Joe was really sweet, by the way.
That was awesome.
She's sweet. I just want to get into...
We got a lot of emails about the whole college.
So many issues. So many emails about that. But now there's like a whole new thing too called snow plowing, snowplow parents. But what do you have any thoughts that came up from what we talked about last week?
No, I think that the timing of this, the whole kind of snow plowing concept, which by definition is a person who constantly forces obstacles out of their kids' paths.
So basically, a recent poll by the New York Times and Morning Consult found that 3/4 of parents of children between the ages of 18, guys, this isn't 3 and 5, 18 and 28. So let me just say again, 18. So when your child is graduating high school,
legally an adult,
and 28, when some people are married with kids, had made their children appointments for doctor visits, haircuts. They would call their kids bosses if their child was having an issue at work.
I have so many issues with this.
Look,
let me say this.
Okay, you go first.
That I had an interesting thought when we were talking off the mic that Amy and Mark, you guys kind of started bringing up. I wonder, because like you started saying, Mark, a lot of this is like parent driven.
Yeah.
Because they want to brag, or they want to say that their kid has this job, or their kid made this team, or they got this, that, whatever. They got into this school.
Look good as a parent of
they got this trophy. They got this accolade. I wonder if it's, I have to assume that it's because of the social media outbreak. Actually, our parents being the major generation on like Facebook nowadays, the older generation are the ones that use that. They want that so they can post that stuff.
That's so funny.
100%. Because what else are they posting? They're not posting. They're in their late 40s, in their 50s.
They're on their posting on Facebook 24/7. Right.
What are they posting about themselves? What are our parents posting about themselves? Nothing. Maybe a trip they go on. What's the thing that they can post about? Their kids and what they're doing. Other than that, they wouldn't have anything to post on
because
they probably have the same job that they've had for the last 30 years, like both of my parents. Because they get one job.
It's like their Instagram. It's like their.
It's their thing. It's their material to post about is your kids. Which we get because we love our kids,
right?
And we love posting stuff about them. But when it get, it just kind of makes sense to me why this is happening now.
But it's so out of control. Like the only word that comes to mind when I saw this article was like, how embarrassing. Like, you imagine if you're 18 years old, 19, maybe in your 20s, you've got your first real job, and like something goes awry, and your mommy calls your boss.
If I was that boss, I would fire that person. I would fire them. I would fire them.
But it's like, what goes on? And then I get it. I can see mommies making their 20-somethings haircut. And there was even like making sure they didn't have sauce or too much spice on their food. And they're in their 20s.
I mean, look, again, I would do anything for my child. But when my daughter's 18 years old, I'm going to go into the whole thing. Honey, I moved to New York when I was 18 on my own.
Right.
And then like living on my own in Los Angeles at 19, like freaking grow up.
It's different with your son.
Oh, interesting.
And it will be different with your son.
Time out. Oh, that is so true. Yes. Because his mother enables.
Yes. And mine does too.
Yes.
Mommy.
See,
you're right.
Yeah. Yes. Oh
Jolie
my God.
18,
it's so true.
You will say, go make a life for yourself. When Jace is 22 and says, mommy, I don't feel good. You're going to run over there with soup and Pedialyte.
Oh my God. Uh-huh. You're so right.
It's just what it is.
You're so right. You're so right. But why is that?
That's a great question. And I don't know.
That's really funny.
But my wife rolls her eyes because we go visit my parents. She makes all my favorite foods.
So
and Owen Mark likes this.
Right.
But I can play the other side because daddy's little girl. Like when I am like, oh, dad, I need help with this.
Oh, 100%. I will run. While Jana's running to Jace, I will run to Jolie because I'll be like, Jace, suck it up.
So
rub some dirt on it. You're
and I'll be
fine.
Like, meanwhile, I'll be like, hi, this is Mrs. Cawson. I'm calling on behalf of Jace. Ma'am, you mean your 27-year-old son? Yes, he's sick right now with a fever. He can't come in.
He can't handle it.
So I have a question for you guys, because I have my own opinion on this, and I would love to hear what you say. So let's say 23 out of college.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Do 18. 23 out of college. And your kid's hard worker.
Right.
Good grades.
Wants to live at home.
Not even home. They want you to help them pay for their apartment. They got a job. Doesn't pay much, though, but it's a good job.
Yeah.
Would you help support them?
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. If they're working.
Because the results
working.
Are there. They are trying. They're doing what they can. And if you're showing me that you're giving that effort, absolutely, we'll help you.
Having said that, Michael and I did just get into an argument because he said he wanted to buy Jolie a car. And I said, no, you are not buying her. We are not buying her a car. And he, look at you rolling your eyes right now at me.
Now, are we talking now? Or
16? No, when she's
16, I was like, absolutely not. And he's like, why? And I was like, because I worked my butt off as a waitress to get my Alero.
You quit every job you had as a waitress.
Doesn't matter. I still made my lease payments.
In 2032, it's all going to be self-driving cars anyway.
True. Really. True. But I'm just saying, like, that's
like the family truckster, like the hand-me-down.
Totally. And here's the thing. I have no problem. I would help her with the payments if she was working. But I would never buy her a new car. Or a used car. I'm just saying she needs to help pay for those payments.
The car I got.
Now, Jace, I will buy him a Mercedes.
Right, exactly.
He will have the brand new Jeep.
Why is that? Why are we so hard on the same gender
That's
children?
A really good question. I don't know. You know what? I would love to maybe like get your mom on the show to ask her like why. Because I'm sure she only did that for you and not for Tara.
Well.
No?
Yeah, but my... My dad was harder on me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so my dad was hard on my brother too. And so is that why then? Is it because
we see ourselves in our same sex children, and that's why?
Or no, is it because we see them being so hard on? So like he's going to be harder on Jason. He is with Jolie. I'm going to be harder on Jolie than he is. So is that it then?
I don't think so, because I think even if you were raising these kids by yourself, it'd be the exact same dynamic.
Really?
I think so.
Interesting. It's interesting. I'm curious to know what you guys think. Jana Crame at iHeartMedia.com, but that is really...
What's wrong? See, my parents went like halvesies with me on like a $7,000 2001 Ford Taurus.
Honey,
Mike is still on the car. He's all like, I'm going to win.
We're going to buy Jolie a car. It's going to be a beater.
Honey, I'm just saying I want her to help.
That's what. Yeah, she can have a job.
Yeah,
if she's not, in extracurricular activities that don't allow her to have a job.
I'm just saying with this whole snowplow thing, I'm just not going to be 100% like, here is your car. Like,
it's
you need
like
to help
she
pay for
it. No, if she's doing extracurricular activities or doing something, if she doesn't have a job, but she's in like clubs or whatever it may be, not if she just comes home from school and goes to her room, sitting on her phone, talking to her friends says, mommy, I want a car.
Yeah. And here's what I'll say.
Nope.
What my grandpa did with my brother was the best example. And this is what I would do. I would say
you guys just have it all figured out.
I would say, come on, someone attack Mike for being mean to me right there.
They'll still get my back.
When my brother paid for the car payments and my grandpa kept the checks and the money. And when the car was paid off, he gave him the 25 grand.
Oh, wow.
And that is what I would do, because you grew up, my grandpa Martin, he was my everything. Like, love him. He's my grandpa that watches me every day. I know that with every part of me. That is what I would do, as I would say, Joel, you need to pay for this car. He haunts you, probably. I was like, you will pay for this car, but at the end of it, I will give her all of the money.
That's actually
because she worked really hard.
Didn't know that was going to happen.
Zero idea.
Well done, grandpa.
Yeah, that is. That is a good one.
Zero idea. And I think
that money for college or whatever
he wanted. And I don't know what he used it on, but that was the greatest example that I could, that's showed hard work, that he paid for his commitment and his work, his word.
And that's really, and we should do that. And I will say,
here you go.
On snow plowing,
Grandpa Martin.
So when we moved back to Tennessee, eventually I want to, just for fun for me, like, I never wanted to get into coaching, but I would love to coach high school. I think it'd be a lot of fun to coach high school football. And again, call me old fashioned. I dare a parent to come talk to me about their son, or I guess I got to be politically correct, or daughter playing football, their child playing football. I dare a parent to come talk to me. I can't wait for that. I might come home without being a coach anymore. I might get fired, but I will let it be known that this is not going to fly. I relish. I hope that happens.
Oh my God.
I can't wait.
That's
hilarious. If you want to hear nuggets like that or about Grandpa Martin in person, Jana and Michael have a big announcement right now.
Guys.
Especially if you're in New York, New York, Boston, Alexandria, Virginia, listen up. Or
guys, really big announcement. We are taking Wind Down on the road for a Wind Down podcast tour.
Live tour.
We're going on the road May 16th, the Birchmere, Alexandria, Virginia. May 17th, Sony Hall.
703, where you at?
703. May 17th, Sony Hall, New York, New York. May 18th, the Wilbur, Boston, Massachusetts. The pre-sale starts March 26th at janakramer.com. You guys.
That's tomorrow,
go get the tickets.
Guys.
So we're going to be talking about all this stuff. We might even bring some of you guys up
and
on
it's
stage
gonna,
with
it's gonna
us.
It's going to be interactive. It's going to be
interactive.
So if you come, be prepared to talk. We might pull you up.
Yeah, but we really, really want you guys to come see us. So please, pre-sale starts March 26th tomorrow at janakramer.com. And you guys, I'm doing it again. My new single, Beautiful Lies.
It's so good.
We'll be available everywhere on Friday, March 29th. For more information, go to janakramer.com. We're super pumped.
Will we be able to hear your new song on April 2nd here in LA? And will these guys be able to hear it when they show up at your show?
Mm.
So another, yes. So for everyone who goes to the Wind Down podcast tour, May 16th, 17th, or 18th, and on April 2nd, I'm going to do a performance, and you'll be able to hear Beautiful Lies, my new single, and a few other songs. So it's going to be a great intimate night with Mike and I.
Yeah.
Thanks. Thanks, guys.
And you should mention the Napa Valley Wine Train.
Yes, please. And Amy, I would like for you to...
So many things.
I'm excited. I know. This is good. This is probably one of my most favorite exciting ones. Go ahead.
So here's one more opportunity to see Jana and Mike, if you are in the Bay Area, Northern California, or even Southern, take a trip to Napa. So on April 6th, we are going on the Napa Valley Wine Train, which is so awesome. It's basically this beautiful train, four-course gourmet meal, drinking wine. We're going to stop at the Mondavi Winery.
Yes.
You're going to be with Jana and Mike. Mm. You're going to be with a ton of people from The Bachelor, even Tanya Rad from Ryan Seacrest's Morning Show. And this one's special because every penny we raise will go to the Red Cross. So you go to ifonly.com, just search Jana, and it'll come up. And we are covering all the costs so that every penny you donate go right to the Red Cross.
Man,
and it
job,
is
I
to
heard.
Prepare California for earthquakes.
That's huge. Thank you, Amy, for doing that.
Yeah, so April 2nd.
April 2nd.
April 6th.
April 6th.
May 16th, 17th, 18th. If you're on the East Coast, go to janakramer.com for all the info.
All the info.
Yeah, she'll help you out.
You guys, big thank you to Brooklinen. Get 10% off your first order and free shipping with promo code Jana at brooklinen.com. That's Brooklinen, BROOKLINEN.com. Promo code Jana. Scentbird, get 50% off your first month today. That's only $7.50 for your first fragrance. Go to scentbird.com/Jana and use the code Jana for 50% off your first month. I think that's a show, guys.
One email.
email. You want to do one email?
I alluded to this one earlier. Marissa says she found out her husband is a narcissist.
I just love that the title, you found out your husband's a narcissist. I mean, did you not know? Like,
well, she started going to therapy and learned that her husband has narcissistic personality disorder.
If you don't know what you're looking for.
Yeah. That's true.
So learning about this has been so freeing yet entrapping all at once. He doesn't have empathy in tough times. He has a public face and a private face, and the private face is not pretty. He has haughty behaviors.
What does haughty mean?
Sucky? I'm going to look that one up.
Like kind of high horsey?
Yeah, high horsey. That's
how I was thinking. Is an H and N close on the thing?
That's true. It could be naughty.
Like grandiose.
Yeah.
We've been going to marriage counseling, but I just feel nothing is coming of it, and he doesn't believe anything I say is true. I consider staying married because, like Jana, I have always felt my purpose in life is to be a mom, and I want that so badly. But wouldn't that make me a bad mom by having children with somebody like this?
Oh, and they don't have kids? Later.
Time out. Time out. I mean, depends how old she is.
Oh, that's what the best.
I mean, I get to question that with you, you know, and be like, all right, well, it's going to take me this long to find somebody else.
Well, many would have said to Jana later in her situation, but you acknowledged you had a problem and you sought help. This guy's not seeking help.
Here's the thing. If your husband's not seeking help, then yes, my advice is to not have children with someone that's not wanting to get help, is my personal opinion. You have to follow your heart, though. If you think that it has it in him to change, sometimes guys just take a longer road to get there.
Narcissism is tough to break.
Well said, Mike.
Tough. Just from my experience of just therapy and counseling and knowing a lot of different guys, and it's a beast. I mean, it's basically telling someone to believe in a whole different reality.
But then how do they get help then?
So if you heavily research narcissism, which I suggest anyone with a narcissist in their...
I mean, I know we've talked about it before.
Yeah,
had the expert,
it's almost impossible to, quote, cure.
Yeah.
If the person is so devoted to working on it, they can improve. But that's if you know, we got five sentences here. So I don't want to, like...
Well, and you have to see, remember the narcissist expert that came on, if there's like, if you have all eight. Yeah. So I would go through the checklist and see how many he has. Go to the checklist, the narcissist checklist, and see. If he's got all eight, that's going to be a tough one to break.
It's a term that people use loosely when that's more inaccurate.
Yeah.
If it's actually legit, then I'm concerned.
Yeah.
Yeah, if there's a different, great point, Amy. There's a huge difference between narcissistic tendencies and being a full-blown narcissist.
But also the definition of a narcissist is someone who thinks they're perfect and doesn't require...
Right, right. Exactly. So that's exactly to my point. Like, you're trying to explain to someone who thinks they're perfect that their reality is actually not reality. It's like a twilight zone.
I mean, I feel like, Marissa, maybe you, like you said, learning this has been so freeing for you. So maybe this is your realization that... Thank goodness you found this out now.
And just learn, like Janet, I think that's a good point. Go through that checklist. You can find that online. Uh-huh. And do your research. Talk to your therapist. Determine what you can live with. So maybe instead of trying to, maybe he has four things out of the eight. Just pick specific ones that you know you can't live with and attack just those. Be like, okay, if I'm able to convince him or change him, alter him in some way with those ones, those non-negotiables, all right, maybe I can do this. But determine what those are.
Yeah, and I also will say too, I mean, at the end of the day, though, you got to do what's right for you. And
right.
Don't settle too.
But to your point, it's like in our relationship, you want to do everything you could so you know you could look yourself in the mirror or look at our kids and say, I tried.
Yeah.
Maybe same thing for her.
And also too, but at the same point, yes, I totally agree with you, honey. But if he's not willing to do the work and he's not willing to look in the mirror,
I mean,
away.
That's your quickest
both people have
answer
to work.
Right there. If he's not willing to do anything, then yeah.
All right. That was a good one. Hey, I just want to circle back around and say I'm really proud of you, babe. And I'm really looking forward to seeing all the things that you're going to do with us and the platform you're building.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And I appreciate you guys giving me the platform to talk about it. And Amy and Mark, you guys willing to let that happen on the show? And I hope.
I just hate, no shame in anything. That's why I love that you guys say what you say,
because
you remove shame, which is the worst.
I hope our listeners have been great. I hope you guys receive this with grace and treat it as such and respond as such. And just know that Jana and I are opening up about this to help people out there. And there's so much more we will dive into on this topic, on the addiction, sex addiction topic. We'll get specialists on here. We'll get people who have gone through this.
If you're at the LA area, April 2nd, thrivemarket.com/Jana to come see us. Podcast. It's going to be fun.
All right. See you then.
Love you.
Love you, boo.
Bye, guys. Good job. Discover the rich, smooth taste of Matcha Love made with real Japanese matcha, perfect for hot or cold brewing. Matcha is rich in vitamin C, catechins, EG, CGs, and L-theanine. Enjoy a delicious matcha latte or smoothie with this convenient green tea powder made from Japan's treasured matcha, finely milled from high-quality green tea leaves. Get 25% off all Matcha Love products on Itoan using code JANA. That's code JANA at itoen.com. Available on Amazon and itoen.com. You know, I don't even know where to start with this because it's the comfort, it's the style, it's the whole look. That's what I love about my Tecovas. This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop before attending your next concert. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. Shop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's Tecovas, TECOVAS.com, and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Ladies and gentlemen,
we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars, because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.